flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back in the sports bar, it's Danger and Battaglia. Always excited to welcome in our buddy from Kansas City, 96.5, The Fan in Kansas City. Talk about the AFC Championship with Alex Gold, and we talked to one of your colleagues there at The Fan, Alex, yesterday. Binkley came into the sports bar really upset that the Chiefs are being disrespected. And both Gene and I are wondering, like, who is disrespecting the two-time defending Super Bowl champions that are on the precipice of a historic postseason run?
What's going on, guys? Yeah, I don't know if it's the disrespect. I don't know exactly what Bink was saying. I think it's the referee conspiracy stuff, if anything, that's irritated fans and people in Kansas City this week. It hasn't been so much the disrespect. I just heard the cut you guys played coming back from break there and everything. And in fact, we had a conversation on our show today that I actually think the respect level between Chiefs fans, Bills fans, Chiefs players, Bills players, coaching staffs is kind of as much respect as you'll ever see. In fact, that's why I don't know when we talk about, is it the biggest rival for the Chiefs? We were pushing back a little bit today. Like, I think it's still Cincinnati only because they talk a bunch of trash. You know, they call it Burrowhead. They have, you know, so I think the respect level is almost so high that it hasn't led it to be like this hated rivalry. There's almost too much respect.
Alex, how do you view this season in Kansas City where, yes, the Chiefs are the one seed and a win is a win is a win, but I don't know if we've ever seen a team where you've just had, a play here or a play there. They all seem to go the Chiefs' way. How would you summarize 2024?
No doubt it's one scores across the board. You know, this is a team that last year won some one-score games as well. I think what we've seen for them this year has been the defense in particular has not played at the same level as a year ago, and they have had to kind of wait this thing out to the point where they got healthier and healthier. And now I think the gap has closed enough for them to be a little bit closer to where they were defensively. But this has been a team overall that I think has been a little bit slower to come around offensively than people were hoping for. You know, it's funny because you said they won 15 games. So like, what's it matter ultimately? And they're in the AFC title game. But Patrick Mahomes got off to a rough start. He was turning the ball over far too much. You know, they didn't have the downfield plays that people were expecting, whether it was Xavier Worthy not having great field awareness, whether it was Mahomes' deep ball just not being there. And then since they played the Bills, I don't have to tell you guys, you know, I'm sure you've talked about it, Mahomes has protected the football, has not made mistakes. And you look at the numbers, despite how people maybe nationally talked about him, since week 11, he's been as good as anybody in the league.
Yeah, we look back at that week 11 matchup, and I know that both teams had some missing players on both sides of the ball. And I'm curious as to what your eyes are seeing out of the Chiefs' backfield from Pacheco, because to my eyes, he doesn't look like the same player that started this season since he's come back from his injury.
That's right. No, he's not. He's not the same, to the point where people here believe Kareem Hunt should be the lead back on Sunday night against Buffalo. You know, I think some of it might be the ankle's just not 100% there. He had ankle surgery. The other thing I think is open fans and media eye here in Kansas City is Kareem Hunt's vision in short yarded situations. He has been the better back specifically on those situations. Goal line, you look at the yardage over the last six games, it's not much different between the two, but there's three touchdowns there for Kareem Hunt. Last week against Houston on a crucial fourth and one, it was Kareem Hunt that got the carry. Kareem Hunt had a couple of the big runs to kind of ice the game away last week against Houston. So you're right. I think your observation is 100% correct on Pacheco, and he's a fan favorite and everything, but I think the organization, with how they ended the game against Houston, it would not surprise me if out of the gate we see the carries go towards Kareem Hunt. It's not that Pacheco won't touch the football, but I think the bulk of the carries, if you're looking at the split, it was 60-40 probably before towards Pacheco. I think it's going to be that, if not more, towards Kareem Hunt on Sunday, if they run the ball that much, which I'll be honest, I don't know how much the Chiefs are going to be running the football in this one.
Yeah, well, I mean, it would be a departure from what they did against Houston. Now, granted, it was cold here. It was really cold in Kansas City, and maybe that was the reason why, when you played Houston there, only one wide receiver caught a ball, that being Worthy. I mean, was that just, we really respect Stingley in the Houston secondary, we're not going to chance it, it's cold, or is that, how much concern would you have as far as who is being targeted here?
So I think a lot of it was also the defensive front. And Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter and how effective they were causing problems on the left side of that Chiefs offensive line. Joe Tooney, the all-pro guard, as you guys know, has been playing left tackle, and he's been their best option at left tackle, but they struggled. You know, they've been getting the ball out really quick, even when the offense was playing well prior to entering the postseason against Pittsburgh, against Houston the first time around. And this past game against the Texans, they weren't even able to do that all that effectively. I think some of it was that. And then, quite honestly, and I know Buffalo's not going to play it this way, the Texans, for whatever reason, thought it was a great idea to leave Travis Kelce in the middle of the field wide open. I don't understand that whatsoever. That won't be the case. I still think Travis Kelce is going to have a huge impact on the game, but he's going to have to work for it. And, you know, Hollywood Brown wasn't playing in that Week 11 game. Xavier Worthy, to me, wasn't playing at the level that he is now the first time they played Buffalo. So I'll be curious to see with the Bills team that plays a lot of zone, just how the Chiefs will attack that. My guess is they're going to try to get Worthy and Hollywood Brown into space and see how the Bills can kind of keep up with some of that speed.
Alex, I thought it was interesting how the Bills handled the Ravens. They basically sold out on Derrick Henry and wanted to see Lamar Jackson give them the game. Lamar Jackson's going to fall on his face. That was kind of the defensive game plan. We're going to pressure him. We're going to force him into making mistakes. And he's been fairly mistake-free through the course of what looks to be another MVP season for Jackson. Is there a player on the Kansas City offense that you view as a potential liability? Is there somebody offensively for the Chiefs that could fall on their face that Buffalo could target?
So it's not a sexy name probably to Bills fans that's going to pop out there, but I'll go to the offensive line. And because Tooney's playing left tackle, he's an all-pro guard, which means you have a big dip in play at left guard. I'm talking about Mike Caliendo. That's the name to watch, and specifically what Ed Oliver might be able to do there. That would be, if you're asking for my biggest concern in the game, other than the obvious, which is Josh Allen plays great, which he really has in these playoff games, and it still hasn't been enough, would be if Ed Oliver's able to really blow up that left side of the offensive line, and it's going to be against Mike Caliendo. That, to me, would be the one area where the Bills could have some success from a defensive line perspective. Otherwise, look, Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, those are two really special players. I think it's the best defensive front the Chiefs will play throughout this postseason run if it continues past Buffalo as well. It doesn't mean that Von Miller can't do something. I just think Mike Caliendo is the weakest guy on the offensive line in this game, and that's also where Ed Oliver is going to reside. So that would be the area.
We saw Kansas City really, and maybe it was just kind of a byproduct of, I thought C.J. Stroud needs to learn a little bit more when to get rid of the ball, pocket awareness, that sort of thing. But Steve Spagnuolo certainly sending extra guys there. How do you think he plays it this week against Buffalo?
Well, I think he's definitely going to come after Josh Allen. You know, the first go-around, because of personnel issues, not having Charles Omenihu, who was coming back from an ACL injury, not having Jalen Watson, the team's number two corner, he just came back from the IR last week against Houston, played about 60% of the snaps. Sounds like Steve Spagnuolo's planning on him to be closer to a full go. That is a huge, huge difference. And the reason for that, whether it was Amari Cooper in that game or Curtis Samuel, Jalen Watson's a more physical corner than Trent McDuffie. Trent McDuffie's an all-pro, but now they're going to be able to have McDuffie, at least the thought here is, line up with Shakir, maybe shadow him a little bit, and that's going to be an effective area for them in particular, I think, with the wide receivers there in Buffalo, which is what they didn't have. And because of that, then you'll maybe be able to bring some guys on a blitz. I thought it was a pretty vanilla defensive game plan, just because one hand kind of tied behind your back, if you will, for Spags the first go-around. So that's kind of an area, at least here in Kansas City, people are watching and believe that Spags will kind of have more tools to utilize than he did the first go.
It's a stat that a lot of Bills fans are chewing up like red meat when we saw it earlier in the week that Kansas City is 31st in success rate and 32nd in yards per play when opposing teams target their tight end. And it carries more significance when Dalton Kincaid didn't play in Week 11 when the two teams met. So is this a pathway for success for the Buffalo Bills, targeting Dawson Knox, Dalton Kincaid in the passing game, maybe with some quick passes and getting the ball out of Josh Allen's hands quickly?
No question. Yeah, it's been the story all year, guys. This is not a good football team against tight ends. Now, it hasn't burned them, and that's the thought, you know, that Steve Spagnuolo going into this season, you look at their linebacking core and how they handle the tight ends. It's kind of the one area where they said, all right, you're going to beat us with your tight ends, but we're not going to let you ultimately, you know, beat us where it kind of counts. We're going to limit Nico Collins last week, but let Dalton Schultz go out there and rack up some yards. I mean, you look at this season, you said it, 32nd in the league on yardage. They've given up the 15th most touchdowns to tight ends, I believe, this season as well. So if we're just talking about, you know, betting and everything, yeah, I'm taking Dawson Knox overs. I'm taking Dalton Kincaid overs. I don't, you know, does that translate to a victory? Obviously, we'll see. They have no doubt, though, really struggled at tight ends, and I would be fairly surprised if both the tight ends there in Buffalo don't have success.
Yeah, Alex, you're certainly on BetQL, the network there. You have your own show. What do you think of the line kind of bouncing around here? Does this feel right to you? Buffalo now only getting a point and a half. The over-under here, 47.5. Which side? Let's start with the over-under there. Do you see this being a track meet here? Or we've seen Bills-Chiefs game where the, you know, let's have long drives, limit possessions. What's the play there on the over-under?
So I do like the over, 47.5, depending on where you look. I lean over, or did I say under? I lean over. Maybe I said under there. I can't remember. My apologies. I lean over for the total in this particular game. I think Kansas City is going to have success moving the ball, but I also think Buffalo is going to do the same. My only hesitation would be what you just said a second ago, which is, does Buffalo feel more comfortable having longer sustained drives than in the past based on how they've played this year? But I just think with the personnel that the Bills get back, with the personnel that the Chiefs are getting back, and offensively, I'm specifically talking about Hollywood Brown, who didn't play the first go-around, I think both offenses will move this ball. You know, I've had this something like a 31-28 type of game, so I like the over, and we all know they put up, what was it, 51 the first go-around.
Alex Gold from 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City, our guest here in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. What are your four most interesting Super Bowl matchups, Alex? Rank them from 4 to 1, with 1 being most interesting.
Yeah, so, you know, like I think Chiefs-Eagles, rematch. For some fans, that might be old, but I still think that the way that game went down, and a lot of people believe Jalen Hurts, you know, outplayed Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. So for Chiefs fans, that's one that sticks out. And then, you know, knowing that the Chiefs have the Commanders on the schedule next year, I think there's a lot of thought that, okay, Mahomes, Jaden Daniels, you know, what if part one was in it was in the Super Bowl, and then they maybe open up the next season with them as well. So from a Chiefs angle, it's definitely that. I'm sure, I don't know how you guys are talking in Buffalo. I mean, I still think the better game is Bills, you know, against the Eagles than Bills Commanders. I mean, I understand the Commanders at that point would have been on a ridiculous run past the Lions going on the road to Philly. But if we're just talking about, like, all-around roster, I still think the Commanders defensively are pretty weak compared to everybody else in this field. So I think the Chiefs going up against the Eagles, or Bills going up against the Eagles, is still probably the better matchup if you don't have a dog in the fight.
Yeah, you know, the Chiefs have been the roadblock for Buffalo. They've been the roadblock for many teams, right? But, Alex, I love these stories, but you have the history of the NBA where the Celtics were king and the Pistons couldn't get by until they did. And, well, then it was the Bulls who couldn't get by the Pistons until they did. And Peyton Manning couldn't get by Tom Brady until one year he did. Is there any trepidation in Kansas City that this would play out that way?
We definitely talked about it today, you know, this theory. Like, is Josh Allen due? And I get it. Like, it's all right there. I get my pushback today on the show was, you know, what does that mean necessarily? Like, I think if you know, when we talk about reasons why the Bills match up well and stuff, and hey, that's why they're going to win. Maybe they're not going to turn the ball over, or hey, Josh Allen is just playing essentially, you know, perfect football. Okay, I can get on board with that. The it's due theory, yeah, if they play 100 times, the Chiefs aren't winning 100 of them in the playoffs. So they're not winning 15 straight Super Bowls. But, you know, and not to open up a wound, but, like, obviously, I don't tell you guys, probably thought Jim Kelly was due after losing two or three in a row as well. Like, I don't buy into it's due or whatever. Yes, at some point, Josh Allen's probably winning a playoff game against Patrick Mahomes, but, like, last year was the year. Wasn't he due last year? It was in Buffalo. Yeah. Why wasn't he due then?
Yeah. I think, Alex, and I don't know how you view the Bills from a distance, but something that we've talked about this week. What feels different about this Bills team than last year's Bills team, as an example, is there's a calmness to their approach. There's a confidence to their approach. And more than anything, I think there is a lack of fear about losing a game. They're not afraid to lose games anymore. And when you look at how they've lost games, you kind of understand, like, it can't get much worse than it's gotten in terms of how they've lost some of these games.
So I'll say, in fairness, one thing we've pointed out when we were looking at, was it going to be the Ravens or the Bills, you know, coming to Kansas City? And to your point, what you just said, a lot of people here, including myself, thought the Ravens would be the preferred matchup, not the Bills. And the thought was what you were saying a little bit, which Sean McDermott at this point, we feel here, knows how aggressive he has to be. He's been hurt by the Chiefs before, giving the ball back to Mahomes or whatever. It's the fourth down decision in week 11. Like, that was a sign for us here in Kansas City that, all right, he's kind of figured this thing. He knows how to play the Chiefs, how aggressive you have to be. You can't play afraid kind of thing. So I totally am with you on that angle. It's why people also wanted Baltimore, because the thought is that maybe Harbaugh hasn't been burned by the Chiefs enough to know that you got to kind of approach the game a certain way. Plus, Lamar, as we saw play out Sunday, we kind of thought heading in that, Baltimore's just way more likely to make mistakes than the Bills. And boy, oh boy, that's how that thing played out on Sunday.
Alex Gold, 96.5, the Fan in Kansas City, and you're still part of the BetQL network, correct, Alex? Are we still, or is that wrapped up here for the season?
No, we're still on BetQL Saturdays. I guess that would be, 10 to noon Eastern on BetQL. I do a show on Saturdays with Grant Paulson, who hosts in D.C., so we should have a fun show Saturday. He covers the Commanders. Obviously, I cover the Chiefs, so we should have some fun talking about these massive games.
Now, nobody's getting – last time we had you on, you missed the Bills-Chiefs game, if I remember, because your sister was getting married. Nobody's getting married this week, right? You're able to watch this thing?
Yeah, so exactly. Yeah, my twin sister got – I guess that would have been that weekend. Yeah, so it was that. But no, we're full go. I'll be at Arrowhead this Sunday, and you guys mentioned the weather. It's going to be only in like upper 20s, low 30s, so not bad at all for both these cities. So this should be a hell of a game. I mean, these are always close. Everybody's getting fired up here, and it's go time here. I'm sure you guys feel the same way at this point.
Where
it's like, okay, wild card weekend's one thing, but AFC title game's a whole different animal.
Alex, we're done talking about officiating. Like, if somebody wants to call and talk, no more calls about officiating. I don't want to talk about it. And I'm ready for this game.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you. Look, I get it. Fans are fans. I'm sick of it as well. You know, hopefully that's not something that comes out of this one on Sunday either way. Because I still think overall it's something we all do as fans. When you get sick of a team, we start to look for reasons to blame individuals, usually officials. So.
Anything on Cleet Blakeman that you've discussed on your show? Quickly, no, before we leave, no, we don't want to talk about officiating at all.
Yeah, I got a run of the bank. The wire transfer hasn't gone through to him yet, so we'll get that handled.
Alex, great hearing your voice, man. Thanks for the time. Appreciate it. Enjoy the weekend, and let's do it again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
There he is, Alex Gold. You can hear him in the free-to-download Odyssey app. He's on our sister station, 96.5 The Fan, in Kansas City.
Interesting, pushing back on me. It's due, and we're like, oh, okay, yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, when you say he's due or they're due, it's along the same ways of saying, hey, you're lucky. Hey, you just need to be lucky. And sometimes you do need, like, we've discussed that earlier this week too, right? Like, when we had Tim Graham on from The Athletic, and we're like, what is it going to take? Why can't this team get over the hump?
Well,
his thing was like, hey, look, there's been injuries, and sometimes you just have to be lucky.
Danger, it's never one thing.
Right.
And that's part of it. Luck is part of it. But even Alex mentioned it. Y'all got to grow. Like, there was room for improvement. We thought 13 seconds. Oh, my gosh, that was the best chance. Well, you know, go back to the first time they played in Kansas City. I'm talking about the first AFC Championship game where you look at that now, 4th-and-3 at the 11, field goal. Ah!
Right.
Yeah, like, and that was in the first half. No, no, no. You need touchdowns. So the idea that Sean McDermott has grown – Josh Allen has grown by leaps and bounds. That's what's different. The Tim Graham thing, yes, that's part of it. Yeah, sometimes the ball has to bounce your way.
Fourth down execution is something. All four of these teams are the four best teams at converting on fourth down, being aggressive. And not just being aggressive at the right time, but converting. That's important to me as well. And to the point that Alex was making that we're talking about here, this is a Bills team that has kind of morphed into what the Chiefs really are. I mean, they're kind of similar in a lot of ways. And it was kind of crystallized yesterday when we were talking through this throughout the course of the afternoon that the Bills have become the Chiefs.
Now, we'll give our final picks tomorrow here on the Sports Bar. Here's the thing that I'm trying to envision how this game is going to be played out. All these scenarios. I could see the Bills kind of having a two-score lead in the second half. But will they be aggressive enough? I don't disagree with the way the Bills handled things against the Ravens, okay? It was a cold night. You want to limit, you know, mistakes or whatever. But will the Bills, will Joe Brady, will Sean McDermott have that killer instinct in this game against Kansas City? Because I'll tell you what, if you get a 10-point lead and it's the third quarter, is anybody feeling comfortable here? No, absolutely not.
No, I don't know that anybody is going into the game on Sunday night saying, I can't wait to just kick my feet back and relax. It's going to suck. It's barf, cry, and die season, everybody. Okay, we're going to be on the edge of our seat. Even if you have a two-score lead and it's the fourth quarter, you know who the opponent is, you know how this works, and you can only breathe that sigh of relief when the clock hits triple zeros.
Yeah. Yeah, if you thought last week was bad as far as your stress level.
Yeah. We got a matchup for you. It's all on the line. Well,
but if it comes to fruition, danger, nobody sleeps Sunday night.
Oh, man. The energy. The energy will carry you through Sunday night. I mean, we all remember how we felt. I didn't sleep after 13 seconds. I mean, I just kind of sat in awe of what we just saw, in awe that they lost that game and the way they lost that game. I mean, the tension that was just built up, the adrenaline, the release, I mean, impossible to wind down from that. I don't know how the players do it. I can't do it. I don't know how you do it. No way. So, yeah, Sunday night's a long night. Sunday night's a long night. After a full day of football, a long night on Sunday night. Win or lose.
They say 6:30 for the coverage. What time is really the kickoff? We learned that last week. Like, it was 6:38, Bills Ravens. So just kind of pointing that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we've got our Championship Sunday party all decked out. We're ready. We've got different cuisine from each of the four teams. Pretty easy. Buffalo wings, Philly cheesesteaks. I'm going to throw some eggs on this, some ribs on the egg, on the smoker, Kansas City style. We were trying to figure out what Washington's signature dish is. And all I could think was, can we serve up lies at a Championship Sunday party? But I don't know that that's edible. So there's some sort of chili. And then my brother-in-law, who is a Commanders fan, said, hey, man, how about something with bacon? For the hogs.
Oh, all right. There you go.
Fair. Yeah, let's go. Anything bacon-related will be our Washington signature dish.
I will be with Kim Coffee. We will be at the Taproom Bill Gray's Chi Lai Avenue location, which, look, if you want to go out, that would be the place to go, and I would suggest making a reservation in advance.
Man, so. Nobody likes a one-upper, Gene. That's good stuff. Unbelievable.
You're going big, I'm going big.
That's right. Yeah. Everybody go big. It's going to be a big Sunday of football. Championship Sunday is always one of our favorites on the sports calendar, and it's even more special with the Bills looking to punch their ticket to New Orleans and go to the Super Bowl against either the Eagles or the Commanders. Happy Hour is next on The Fan. We've got a round of shots. We have time for your calls if you want to join us. 866-4FAN, 585-866-4326. We'll recap the Bills practice report from today, the injury report from today, and we'll get into some of the news and notes from around the NFL as well. That's all coming up.
Your Bills Mafia Sports Station, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.